to order May 20th, 2005. And on the agenda, it says 8:30, and it's not 8:30. Look at that. Want to announce there's going to be four bills that we're not going to have hearings on this morning. House Bill 3470, 2749, 3336, and HM4 to be carried over till next week.
Can you repeat those one more time, Mr. Chairman?
House Bill 3470, 2749, 3336, and HM4.
Thank you. Council, what are we doing next?
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, on the agenda we have possible draft requests. There are actually two draft requests pending before the Judiciary Committee at this time. The first one would allow a bill that would be relating to aggravated murder, and it would close a gap in the aggravated murder law. It's actually something we considered under House Bill 3045, but there was a problem with the relating clause there. What it would do is it would cover a reserve officer. If an individual murders a reserve officer, that would be aggravated murder as well. And so that's one draft request. The second draft request is on behalf of the Oregon Association of the Chiefs of Police, and it would amend Oregon's criminal fines and assessments account. And both of these requests have been approved by the Speaker's office.
Chair, I move that the draft requests that were just described by Council Moad be approved under the auspices of the committee.
Any objections, discussion? Not so ordered. Open a work session on House Bill 2233.
Mr. Chair, I move the rules be suspended for the purpose of reconsidering the vote on House Bill 2233.
Representative McPherson has moved that the rules be suspended for the purpose of reconsidering the vote on House Bill 2233. This motion is not debatable. Those are of the opinion that the rules should be suspended for the purpose of reconsidering the vote on House Bill 2233 will say aye. Those opposed, no. We'll do it by your count, please.
Representative Ackland?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores? Representative Garrard?
Is he
excused?
Thank you. Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Worth?
She was not on the floor. She's excused. I think she's absent unless we find out she did have permission. We'll change it later.
Okay. Vice Chair McPherson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye. Motion carries.
Mr. Chair, I move we reconsider the vote by which House Bill 2233 was sent to the full committee with a due pass as amended recommendation.
Representative McPherson has moved that we consider the vote by which House Bill 2233 was sent to the full committee with a due pass as amended recommendation. Those of the opinion that we should reconsider the vote by which 2233 was sent to the full committee will vote with a due pass as amended will vote aye. Those opposed, no.
Representative Ackley?
A point of information. What's the purpose of the reconsideration? I don't know what I'm voting on.
Representative Ackerman and members of the committee, House Bill 2233 was sent down to the floor for a full, or as a do-passes amended recommendation. We had adopted the Dash 2 amendments. It came to our attention after review by Legislative Fiscal and Legislative Counsel's Office that the Dash 2 amendments had an error in the effective date of the Act, and therefore we need to adopt the Dash 4 amendments and rescind the Dash 2 amendments. In addition, there are Dash 3 amendments. Because we were pulling it back anyway, the United States Department of Justice had asked to use this as a vehicle, and if you look at the Dash 3 amendments, this is something that the Department of Justice asked for so that they could have access to employment records for the purposes of judgments, collecting civil and criminal judgments, including restitution and special assessment fees.
Thank you.
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Representative
Barker? Aye. Representative
Flores? Aye. Representative Gerard, excused. Representative Thatcher? Aye. Representative Work, absent. Vice Chair McPherson?
Aye.
Vice Chair
Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Mr. Chair, I move that we rescind the Dash 2 amendments to House Bill 2233 adopted by the Criminal Law Subcommittee on April 21, 2005.
Representative McPherson has moved that rescind the Dash 2 amendments to House Bill 2233 adopted by the Criminal Law Committee on April 21st, 2005. Any discussion? I think we've had that. Call the roll, please.
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores? Excuse. Representative Gerard? Excuse. Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative
Work,
absent. Vice Chair McPherson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye. Motion carries.
Mr. Chair, I move that we adopt the Dash 3 amendments to House Bill 2233 adopted by the Criminal Law Subcommittee.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's an error.
Yeah, just we adopt the Dash 3 amendments. I'm too well scripted.
Representative McPherson moves that we adopt the Dash 3 amendments to House Bill 2233. Any committee discussion? Objections? They're adopted.
Mr. Chair, I move we adopt the Dash 4 amendments to House Bill 2233.
Representative McPherson moves that we adopt the Dash 4 amendments to House Bill 2233. Any discussion on the amendments? Objections? They're adopted.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2233 to the floor with a do-pass as amended recommendation.
Representative McPherson has moved House Bill 2233 to the floor with a do-pass as amended recommendation. Take the vote, please.
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores? Excused. Representative Gerard? Excused. Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Work? Absent. Vice Chair McPherson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye. House Bill 2233 moved to the floor with a do-pass as amended. But I believe, Mr. Representative McPherson, you are the carrier.
I am.
I may have to explain that a little bit.
I would be pleased to do that.
I'll do the explanation on 3457 first. I have, if you want, so just gavel into it.
Open a work session on House Bill 3457. Heidi, will you tell us why we're changing, making a change?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. House Bill 3457 was voted out of the full committee on April 29th, 2005. Since that time, Legislative Fiscal, going through the draft, found on page 9 that the original bill had a dollar amount that was not filled in. In pointing that out to me, I contacted Representative Olson, and they had always actually meant to change it to this dash 2 amendment that you have in the packet of your materials, which instead of specifying a dollar amount, instead specifies that an intergovernmental agreement between the forfeiting agency and the district attorney will determine how much money the district attorney's offices get back under the forfeiture laws.
Representative Olson?
Yeah. Mr. Chair, I move the rules be suspended for the purpose of reconsidering the vote on House Bill 3457.
Representative Olson has moved the rules be suspended for the purpose of reconsidering the vote on House Bill 3457. Those of the opinion that the rules should be suspended for the purpose of reconsidering the vote on House Bill 3457 will vote aye. Those opposed, no.
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores? Excused. Representative Garrard? Excused. Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Worth? Absent. Vice Chair McPherson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye. Motion passes.
Mr. Chair, I move we reconsider the vote by which House Bill 3457 was sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Olson has moved that we reconsider the vote by which House Bill 3457 was sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores? Excused. Representative Garrard? Excused. Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Worth? Absent. Vice Chair McPherson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye. Motion carries.
Mr. Chair, I move that we adopt the dash 2 amendments to House Bill 3457.
Representative Olson moves that we adopt the dash 2 amendments to House Bill 3457. Are there any objections, discussion on the amendments? Amendments adopted. Those who are of opinion that the dash... Excuse me, I'm going to go on from here.
I think Representative Olson makes a motion.
Make a motion.
Yeah, I'm going to make a motion.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3457 to the floor with the due pass as amended recommendation.
Representative Olson has moved House Bill 3457 to the floor with the due pass as amended recommendation.
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores? Excused. Representative Garrard? Excused. Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Worth? Absent. Vice Chair McPherson?
No.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye. House Bill 3457 is moved to the floor with a due pass as amended.
Representative Olson, I believe you're going to be the carrier.
Yes.
Open the work session on House Bill 2316.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2316 was amended by the dash 2 amendments. It modifies procedures used by the Board of Parole in determining whether or not an offender is a predatory sex offender. The dash 2 amendments replaced the original bill in its entirety. Essentially, back in February of this year, the Oregon Supreme Court held that the first prong of the designation for predatory sex offenders must focus on present characteristics, or at least that's what the statute required and how they interpreted the statutes. This bill removes that requirement about exhibiting characteristics and instead focuses on the risk assessment scale that is used by the Board of Parole in determining predatory sex offenders. For those of you who haven't sat in on any hearings regarding predatory sex offenders, the primary difference that makes is that an individual who is a predatory sex offender, the community to which he moves can be notified, as opposed to just a non-predatory sex offender where it may be on a website of some sort, but there is no affirmative community notification.
If there's a problem. Okay.
Need a motion on the bill?
Mr. Chair, move House Bill 2316 as amended to the floor to be passed.
Representative Barker has moved House Bill 2316 to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation. Any further discussion? Call the vote, please.
Representative Eichler?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores? Excused. Representative Garrard? Excused. Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Worth? Absent. Vice Chair McPherson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye. House Bill 2316 is moved to the floor as amended with the due pass recommendation. Representative Barker, I believe you are the carrier.
Okay.
Open a work session on House Bill 2335.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, House Bill 2335 was amended by the Dash 5 amendments in the Criminal Subcommittee on May 17th. This is a bill that Representative Crummell sponsored. It would require a multidisciplinary child abuse team to review cases in situations where a parent has voluntarily removed themselves from the home while a Department of Human Services review of allegations involving child sexual abuse happens. Basically, there are two ways when the Department of Human Services gets involved in investigating these child sexual abuse allegations. There are two main paths that the case can go down. The first path is that DHS will remove the children from the home within 24 hours or 48. If it's a weekend, a shelter hearing will occur, and typically that means obviously judicial and district attorney involvement, and if the parents are indigent, an attorney can be appointed to them. The other way that this can happen is that the Department of Human Services can inform the parent that's being investigated, that he or she can leave the home voluntarily while the investigation continues. We heard testimony that from a family where the voluntary agreement was entered into, and the Department of Human Services took an extremely long time. I don't remember the exact amount of time, but an extremely long time in doing the investigation, which caused great hardship for the family to have two homesteads to pay for. Visitation had to be worked out through the Department of Human Services and so on. So what this bill would do is give those parents in the voluntary situations the ability to request a review, and then the multidisciplinary team, which includes typically members from law enforcement, the Department of Human Services, the District Attorney's Office, an opportunity to review the case. They are required by the statute to consider a couple of different factors, and then they are required by the statute to inform the parents of the proposed timeline for the rest of the investigation. The bill also does set up, however, that this would not, should they fail to accomplish this within the 90 days, there's no civil liability that is incurred by the enactment of this act. And in addition, the district attorney down the line, should they choose to institute a criminal case, would not be barred by any statute of limitations if this 90 days was not met.
Have a motion on the bill?
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2335A to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
As amended.
Representative
Thatcher has moved House Bill 2335A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any further discussion or questions? Call the roll, please.
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores? Excused. Representative Garrard? Excused. Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Worth? Absent. Vice Chair McPherson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye.
House Bill 2335 moves to the floor as amended. And Representative Crummell, you're here. Would you like to carry?
Sure.
On the floor? Thank you. Open a work session on House Bill 2510.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, House Bill 2510 was amended by the Dash 1 amendments by the Criminal Subcommittee on May 17th of this year. It expands the types of written instruments to which the crime of forgery applies and types of forged instruments to which the crime of criminal possession of a forged instrument applies. And it would include retail sales receipt, universal product code labels, and then EAN 8 and EAN 13 labels. The initial bill had the possession of one or more as a forgery in the first degree, a felony, and 15 or more, it created a new crime of aggravated forgery in the first degree. After meetings with work groups, it was determined that we would make possession of 15 or more of these types of things forgery in the first degree. And the reason that this is becoming an issue, we heard testimony that individuals can print out these universal product code labels. They go to a store, slap the less expensive product code item onto a more expensive item. They pay the lesser amount for the item, and then they go down the I-5 corridor to the next Home Depot exit, and then at the new Home Depot, they will pull that cheaper code off and return it and say, I bought this at the Home Depot up the road, and then get the full amount refunded back. So it's just sort of a fraud that occurs quite a bit, and that's it.
They work awful hard at making money the hard way, don't they?
Boy, that's the truth.
Get a job, might work.
Yeah.
Have a motion on the bill.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I move that House Bill 2510 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Representative Olson has moved House Bill 2510 to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Are there any amendments on that?
Yes,
yes.
The dashboard.
As amended.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, actually, can I just want to get refreshed on something from counsel. Remember there was an issue that surfaced in hearing originally about the dollar level, and I assume the Dash-1 amendments addressed that, but you can remind me how they addressed it?
Yes, Representative McPherson. Essentially, what happened was I actually tried a draft. My first draft of amendments that I sent to Legislative Council attempted to put dollar value on the fraud, and it was unworkable because, of course, if you find someone with these product codes, you don't know what store they may be planning on going to and what the value of the product that they may be planning on putting. So it was impossible to determine what amount they would ultimately get through the fraud. So in talking with Mr. Hummel from OCDLA, who was the one who raised that dollar amount issue in the hearing, he was satisfied by requiring a possession of 15 or more of those to be the forgery in the first degree instead, because that would indicate someone who has an intent to do a great amount of fraudulent activity and would be sort of indicative of the enterprise. You may recall Ms. Brandis telling us about that there were these sort of criminal enterprises going around and doing this, and certainly if you had 15 or more of these types of things, that Mr. Hummel felt that would appropriately be the number at which a felony could be established.
So in effect, the number of separate items was substituted for the dollar figure.
Yes.
Got it. Thank you very much.
Any further discussion on the bill? If not, Heidi, call the roll, please.
Representative Barker. Aye. Representative Flores. Excuse. Representative Garrard. Excuse. Representative Becker. Aye. Representative Ford. Absent. Vice Chairman Person. Aye. Vice Chair Olson. Aye. Chair Krieger. Aye. House Bill 2510 moves to the floor as amended with the due pass recommendation. And Representative Olson, you're the carrier. Judge Lipscomb, I think we're going to send you some more people maybe.
Open the work session, House Bill 2792.
Chair Krieger, members of the committee, House Bill 2792 provides that court security improvement plans to include justice court facilities. It also requires the Advisory Committee on Court Security to include a justice of the peace from each county in districts where justice courts are located. It also took the language from House Bill 3020, which adds to the Advisory Committee on State Court Security an emergency preparedness element. They are required to submit to the presiding judge of a judicial district a plan for state court security improvement, emergency preparedness, and business continuity. It requires review and revision as needed. It clarifies some financial issues as well, authorizing expenditure of monies from court facility security accounts to provide securities for buildings containing justice court facilities. So it does a couple of different things. Because the House Bill 3020 was amended into 2792, this does require a subsequent referral to the House Special Committee on Budget.
A motion on the bill.
Mr. Chair, I move that House Bill 2792A, as amended, be passed out of committee with a due pass recommendation contemplating the subsequent referral to the Budget Committee.
Representative McPherson has moved House Bill 2792 as amended to the House with a due pass with a subsequent referral to the House Budget Committee. Any further discussion? Call the roll.
Representative Ackerman? Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative
Gerard?
Excuse.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Bork? Absent. Mr. McPherson?
Aye.
Mr. Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye. House Bill 2792, as amended, has moved to the House with a subsequent referral to the House Budget Committee. Open a work session on House Bill 2768.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, House Bill 2768 is before us today with the dash four amendments that need to be adopted by the full committee. The dash four amendments replace the bill in its entirety and instead clarifies some concealed handgun license law. It revises them by adding a few prohibited persons to the list. These are people that are prohibited by federal law already, but under the operation of our concealed handgun license law, the sheriffs are required by law to issue concealed handgun licenses to persons who are prohibited by federal law from possessing a firearm. So this clarifies some of those issues. It also provides for renewal of license by mail if the license holder is deployed on active military duty. There was one minor change regarding the issue of whether or not that would be an out-of-state active military duty. That was what the original bill sponsored by Representative Boquist said, and we intend to fix that on the Senate side. But the Dash 4 amendments have been the product of a work group that Representative Olson worked very hard with and included sheriffs from around the state as well as representatives from the firearms lobby.
Any discussion on the bill?
Did we get new amendments?
We did. The dash four amendments are the ones that we discussed yesterday.
Making sure. Thanks.
I believe good Representative Olson has learned a lesson in patience.
Yes, sir.
Working this out.
Yes, sir, Mr. Chair. Anyways, Mr. Chair, I would make a motion then to move the dash four amendments into House Bill 2768.
Representative Olson has moved that the Dash 4 amendments be moved into House Bill 2768. Any objections, discussion? So moved.
Mr. Chair, then I would move House Bill 2768 as amended to the floor with due pass recommendation.
Representative Olson has moved House Bill 2768 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any objections for the discussion? Call the roll, please.
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Gerard, excused. Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Work? Absent. Vice Chair McPherson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye. House Bill 2768, as amended, is moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Representative Olson, you're the carrier?
Yes.
Open the work session. House Bill 2828.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, House Bill 2828 was passed out of the criminal subcommittee with the Dash 2 amendments. However, there are Dash 3 amendments that would supersede the Dash 2 amendments and would need to be adopted today if the committee so decided. Essentially, what this bill does is it expands the crime of murder to include deaths caused by a person driving while under the influence of intoxicants if that person either has three prior convictions for driving under the influence of intoxicants, or a prior conviction that resulted, that was a driving under the influence of intoxicants that resulted in the death or serious physical injury of another person. In addition, it would expand the crime of assault in the first degree by elevating what would normally be charged as an assault in the second degree if the person had those same prior record that I mentioned with the expansion of the murder crime. The dash 3 amendments remove the elevation of assault in the third degree to assault in the first degree. And what that essentially is going to do is make the fiscal impact, which was going to be, which was going to require a referral to the Budget Committee, now minimal. I did get official word today from the Criminal Justice Commission that they were going to be changing their assessment to a minimal fiscal impact on this bill if the dash 3 amendments are adopted. And the proponents of the bill are, while they weren't thrilled to remove the assault in the third degree, these amendments are at their request. It also changes the language ever so slightly in the murder portion, so that these crimes can be pled murder by intoxicated driver instead of just murder. And that was based in part on some concerns and confusion surrounding the crime of vehicular homicide, which actually is not a crime in the state of Oregon. So it's now going to be murder by intoxicated driver. Oh, and finally, this was already covered in the amendments, but I feel it's worth noting for the record that the other thing that this bill does do is it clarifies in the aggravated murder statute that a murder of this type would not be aggravated murder, so that if, for example, an intoxicated driver hit a car that killed more than one person, the aggravated murder statute could not be applied.
Motion on the bill.
Mr. Chair, I move the dash 3 amendments into House Bill 2828.
Okay, Representative Olson has moved the dash 3 amendments into House Bill 2828. Any objections to the amendments being moved? Seeing none, moved into the bill.
Okay, Mr. Chair, then I would move House Bill 2828 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Representative Olson has moved House Bill 2828 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Any discussion on the bill? Representative Ackerman?
Yes, I'm a little bit late on this one. I'm just wondering if the term intoxicated driver has a definition.
It would be, yes, Representative Ackerman and members of the committee. There is a specific reference to the 813010 statute, which is the driving under the influence of intoxicant statute. So that would be an individual whose blood alcohol content is 0.08 or greater, or is otherwise noticeably and perceptibly, impaired to a noticeable and perceptible degree. That is the legal language.
Thank you.
Further discussion? Motion on the bill?
Already made.
Made that?
Yeah.
Any further? Call the roll.
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Gerard, excused. Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Worth, absent. Vice Chair McPherson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye. House Bill 2828, as amended, moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and Representatives Barker and Olson will be co-carriers.
Which one of us would you like to have us go first on that? I mean,
you guys can duke it out and make your decision.
Okay.
Let's discuss that after the meeting, because we do have to put it on the committee report appropriately.
Yeah. Open a House bill. I mean, a work session on House Bill 3083.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, House Bill 3083 specifies that a person working for a news organization does not commit the offense of refusing to assist in firefighting operations if the person disobeys a lawful order of a firefighter or peace officer in order to report on the fire, so long as that individual is not unreasonably interfering with the firefighting operations. The amendments, which were adopted by the committee, dash 1 amendments adopted by the committee on May 17th, delete Section 2 of the original bill in its entirety.
Motion on the bill.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3083 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative McPherson has moved House Bill 3083 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair, I'd just like to say, when we kind of touched on this, but if the news people go where the fire people really don't want them to or don't advise them to, the fire people are not going to be liably responsible when that fire shifts suddenly and catches them. They'll be on their own on that.
I believe so. In conversations I had with the Department of Forestry staff people, they said they were now okay with the bill as it read.
That's part of the record. Thank you.
Yes. I think you made a motion.
Yeah. Yes.
Call the roll.
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Aye. Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Girard, excused. Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Worth, absent. Vice Chair McPherson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye. House Bill 83, as amended, moves to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Members Olson, would you carry?
I'm sorry. That's my mistake. That wasn't McPherson.
I carried it from the sub, although I suggest that we offer it to Representative Avakian.
I actually did ask Representative Avakian, and he said he did not.
Okay, then I'm fine carrying it.
Open a work session on House Bill 3379.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3379 expands the definition of peace officer to include parole and probation officers for certain purposes. Specifically, where this is going to come in to effect is in the criminal code of the Oregon Revised Statutes. We heard from parole and probation officers that oftentimes they have difficulty getting a jurisdiction to charge resisting arrest charges if an individual fights or resists their arrest, because the resisting arrest statute specifically says they resisted the arrest by a peace officer. There were concerns expressed that there would be other more far-reaching implications. My understanding is that has been discussed to a certain extent, and it's the intention that that would be addressed on the other side of the building.
Have a motion on the bill?
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3379 to the floor to do pass.
Representative Barker has moved House Bill 3379 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussions?
Just that I had a couple concerns that were...
We did have concerns, and we've been contacted by the counties and also by Director Williams of Corrections. I believe they're going to be getting together, and if there needs to be some changes, he said they'd be willing to do it on the Senate side.
So they're okay with us passing this out now? Okay. All right.
Further? Call the roll.
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Girard, excused. Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Worth, absent. Vice Chair McPherson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye. House Bill 3379 moves the floor with a due pass recommendation.
And Representative Crummell, as the sponsor, had asked to carry this bill as well.
That's fine. Open work session on House Bill 3452.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, House Bill 3452 was recommended sent here with a due pass recommendation on May 5th. What this would do is increase the penalty for assault in the third degree if the defendant commits that assault by means of a motor vehicle and they were driving while under the influence of intoxicants. We heard from a young woman who was hit head-on by an intoxicated driver, and she is permanently disabled, unable to work, and essentially right now that assault in the third degree is a level 6 on the sentencing guidelines crime seriousness scale. Assault in the third degree at a level 6 starts out as presumptive probation. This would increase it to a level 8 offense, and it would... that would put it into a presumptive prison category. Now, I would note that we have done nothing here that would prevent a judge under the appropriate circumstances to depart downward under the Criminal Justice Commission rules if they felt that it was appropriate to do so. But You know, what this really, the testimony that we heard, and I think what the committee really felt in listening to this, the subcommittee really felt in listening to this, was that by increasing this by two levels, it just more appropriately reflects the victim's impact in these types of cases. I would just note that serious physical injury, which is what happens in an assault in the third degree in order to charge assault in the third degree, is a substantial risk of death or causes serious and protracted disfigurement, protracted impairment of health, or protracted loss or impairment of the function of any bodily organ. This will have a subsequent referral to budget because by increasing, you know, presumptive probation to prison beds, that just creates a fiscal impact. So this does have to go to budget.
Have a motion on the bill?
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3452 without amendment. There are no amendments to it, so it's moved to the floor with it, or moved out of committee with a due pass recommendation and a subsequent referral to the Budget Committee.
Representative McPherson has moved House Bill 3452 to the floor with a due pass with a subsequent referral to Budget. Any further discussion? Call the roll.
Representative Beckwith?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Garrard, excused. Representative
Patrick?
Aye.
Representative
Bork,
absent. Vice Chair McPherson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye. House Bill 3452 moves to the floor with a due pass with a subsequent referral to budget. Open a work session on House Bill 2766.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 2766, the dash three amendments are the bill. Amends the Oregon Community Corrections Law to reconfigure how the state reimburses local government for services provided for incarcerating and supervising offenders convicted of a felony with a penalty of 1 year or less in jail. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the bill as originally drafted has a subsequent referral to Ways and Means Committee. The bill as amended will have to go to Budget Committee, so we will have to rescind the subsequent referral to Ways and Means Committee and then send the bill to the Budget Committee.
You don't really need a script. It's just right. A motion.
Okay. We have a motion to send it back. You said not send it to Ways and Means, but to send it to Budget.
That's correct, Chair.
Mr. Chair, I'll move House Bill 2766 to the floor to do pass to budget, though. To budget.
We have to suspend the referral, the original referral?
Rescind the original referral. Let me take a crack at it. Mr. Chair, I move that House Bill 2766A we reported out of committee with a due pass recommendation and rescind the subsequent referral to the Ways and Means Committee, substituting for that a subsequent referral to the Committee on Budget.
You heard the motion.
Yes.
Sounded good. Too.
That's the chair's prerogative. Any objections? So ordered. And now we need a motion.
The motion I just made included reporting it out with the rescission and substitution. So I think we could call the roll on that motion.
Did we have the dash threes already in? They go in committee.
Mr. Chairman, as a committee, the dash three were adopted in committee, in subcommittee.
On any discussion on the bill? Call roll.
Representative
Beckman? Aye. Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores? Aye. Representative Garrard?
Excuse.
Representative Thatcher? Aye. Representative Burst? Absent. Vice Chair McPherson?
Aye.
Vice Chair
Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye.
House
Bill 2766 moves to the floor with a due pass with a referral to the Budget Committee. Representative Thatcher, you carried it from the... technically, right? That's what's on here anyway.
Okay.
I think when the bill goes to Budget Committee, there's no...
We won't need one if it goes to Budget. That's right. Open a work session on House Bill 2210.
Chair Krieger, members of the committee, House Bill 2210 is a housekeeping bill that clarifies certain terms and procedure
procedures and eliminates inconsistent references and repeals obsolete statutes relating to child support proceedings. This bill comes to you from the Department of Justice. Specifically, this bill clarifies the hearing rights for parties, in particular child support proceedings, by more clearly defining those rights. It also repeals obsolete statutes relating to contesting child support when a child goes off public assistance. It eliminates inconsistent notice provisions, and it eliminates separate definitions of obligee and obligor. This bill has dash two amendments which were adopted in the civil subcommittee. Those amendments establish a 30-day timeline for an obligor to object to a determination that his or her driver's license should be suspended. Those dash two amendments increase that timeline from 14 days from the dash one amendments.
President Ackerman.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'll move that House Bill 2210A be forwarded to the House with a due pass recommendation.
There were no amendments to that, right?
There are amendments, the dash two amendments.
Okay. Dash two is correct. Representative Ackerman has moved House Bill 2210A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any objections?
Representative Beckman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Berard, excused. Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Worth, absent. Mr. McPherson?
Aye.
Mr. Olson?
Aye.
Mr. Krieger?
Aye. House Bill
2210A has been moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation. And Representative Ackerman, I believe you're the carrier.
I will, thank you.
Open work session on House Bill 2212.
Chair Krieger, members of the committee, House Bill 2212 also comes to you from the Department of Justice. Basically, this bill ensures that the child support program will receive personal information from the parties in child support proceedings. Right now, due to confusion among practitioners and inconsistent implementation of current rules, this information is sometimes not submitted to the child support program. This bill will ensure that CPS receives this information, which is necessary for federal funding. You have before you the dash five amendments which were adopted in civil subcommittee. Those amendments require that both the obligor and obligee parent provide the name, address, and telephone number of their employers and judgments or orders establishing paternity. The original bill removed that requirement for the obligee parent, and so this amendment inserts that original language back into the statute.
Motion on the bill?
Mr. Chair, I would move House Bill 2212 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Flores has moved House Bill 2212 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any objections, discussion?
As amended, Chair.
As amended?
Yes.
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Gerard, excused. Representative Sanchez?
Aye.
Representative Worth, absent. Mr. McPherson?
Aye.
Mr. Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye. House Bill
2212, as amended, moves the floor with a due pass. And Representative Flores, I believe you're the carrier.
Thank you.
Open work session on House Bill 2269.
Chair Krieger, members of the committee, House Bill 2269 comes to you from the Oregon Law Commission. This bill passed out of the Civil Subcommittee on May 16th, where it adopted Dash 1 and Dash 3 amendments. This bill establishes procedures for a public condemner to give notice that the condemner will take the immediate possession of property subject to the condemnation and acquire an order confirming immediate possession of that property. As introduced in the Civil Subcommittee, these procedures are optional. The Dash 1 amendments simply clarify that the procedure is optional, and the Dash 3 amendments clarify issues that the court may consider upon defendant's objection. There are Dash 4 amendments that merely combine the Dash 1 and Dash 3 amendments. Those need to be adopted by the full committee.
Representative Ackerman.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'll move that the Dash 4 amendments be incorporated within House Bill 2269.
Representative Ackerman has moved the Dash 4 amendments into House Bill 2269. Any objections? Not so ordered. A motion on the bill?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'll move that House Bill 2269A be forwarded to the full House with a do pass recommendation.
Representative Ackerman has moved House Bill 2269A to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Any discussion, objections? Call the roll, please.
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Garrard, excuse. Representative Thacker?
Aye.
Representative Worth, absent. Vice Chair McPherson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye. House Bill 2269 moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Representative Ackerman? And who's carrying that? Yes, you are the carrier. Open the work session on House Bill 2295.
Chair Krieger, members of the committee, House Bill 2295 comes to you from the Joint Interim Committee on Judiciary. This bill creates a state court facilities task force, directs this task force to study issues relating to state court facilities and to make recommendations on the minimum standards for suitable and sufficient court facilities. It sunsets the task force on January 2, 2008. The Civil Subcommittee considered and adopted -1 amendments. We have before you in your packet of information -2 amendments. Those amendments were necessary because the -1 amendments inadvertently deleted the sunset provision from the original bill, so the -2 amendments put the sunset provision back in. They also, the -1 amendments deleted the funding source for the task force. So the -2 amendments provide for a funding source. They leave a blank that will need to be filled in the budget committee. This bill also needs to be, the subsequent referral to Ways and Means needs to be rescinded, and it needs to be referred to the budget committee. And the committee here, just to remind, needs to adopt the -2 amendments.
Have a motion on that?
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, I would move adoption of the -2 amendments. Do we have to rescind the -1s?
Yeah. We have to rescind the referral to Ways and Means.
The -1s were adopted in civil subcommittee. It's my understanding they do not need to be rescinded. This committee's action is final, so the -2 amendments need to be adopted, and then we can proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move the -2 amendments to House Bill 2295.
Representative Flores moves the -2 amendments to the House Bill 2295. Any discussion? Objections? So ordered.
Mr. Chair, I would move to rescind the subsequent referral of House Bill 2295 as amended to the Committee on Ways and Means, and that it be referred to the House Committee on Budget, and then with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Flores has moved that the subsequent referral
rescind.
Excuse me?
Rescind the referral to
Ways and Means. Rescind the referral to the Ways and Means, and that it refer to the Budget Committee with a due pass.
As amended.
As amended. As amended. Thank you, Mr. Sears.
As amended by the -2s and not by the -1s.
Yeah, the -2s, so we make sure it's clear. A motion on the bill? You got it all?
I believe that was the motion.
Okay. Call the roll.
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Garrard, excused. Representative Thacker?
Aye.
Representative Worth, absent. Vice Chair McPherson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye. House Bill 2295 moves to the floor with a due pass as amended, with a referral to Budget Committee. Open the work session on House Bill 3085.
Chair Krieger, members of the committee, House Bill 3085 requires state agencies to pay attorney's fees, costs, and disbursements in civil cases where they lose and are unable to show that the challenge agency action was substantially justified. It also defines terms related to such actions. There are both -4 and -6 amendments the committee needs to adopt the Dash 6 amendments. They make one change to the Dash 4 amendments. Those amendments provide for several things. First, they modify several of the definitions that are mentioned in the bill, and they provide procedural requirements necessary to obtain attorney's fees. They also require that courts, at the request of either party, make special findings of facts and state that their conclusions of law on the record regarding issues material to the award of denial of attorney's fees. They provide that agencies must pay petitioners attorney's fees and costs, including expert witness fees, when the agencies withdraw the order for purposes of reconsideration and modify or reverse the order in favor of petitioner. And they also require that, or provide that the court may not rely on factors specified in ORS 20.0701 and ORCP 68 in determining whether to award attorney's fees. I mentioned the Dash 6 amendments. They encompass the Dash 4 amendments and make one further change. They make the provisions of this bill prospective. The Dash 4 amendments made this bill apply to any proceedings that were pending on or after January 1st, 2005, which would have had some retroactive effect. So the Dash 6 amendments changed that. The Dash 4 amendments were already adopted by the Civil Subcommittee. So this committee just needs to adopt the Dash 6 amendments to make that change regarding the prospective application of the provisions of this bill.
Representative Ackerman.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I move that the Dash 6 amendments be incorporated within House Bill 3085.
Representative Ackerman has moved the Dash 6 amendments into House Bill 3085. Any further discussion? Representative Ackerman.
Yes, briefly, as counsel suggested, the Dash 6 amendments change the effective date of the bill. The original effective date, and I just want to put this on the record because it was very disturbing to me, it was very peculiar. It picked up all pending cases. And then we found out that we were working with an attorney who was interested in this subject, Attorney Greenwood from Portland, who was a very, very strong advocate for this bill. And I was informed that he had a pending case involving the collection of attorney's fees against the state agency, which appeared to me to be, at least on the face of it, a conflict of interest. I did confirm that with the Court of Appeals, that he did have a pending case, and one of the issues was his entitlement to attorney's fees against the state agency, and that case was pending and would have been picked up in the effective date. So I took that up with Chair Krieger, and he immediately took corrective action. So no one's going to be unduly rewarded by this. The effective date will be prospective rather than retrospective. So that's a little bit of history behind it, and I want to put that on record because I was somewhat concerned about how we were proceeding with this attorney.
Okay. I have a motion on the bill.
Chair Curry, if I may, really quickly. I believe Representative Richardson is here to submit written testimony. Responding, the governor's office submitted a letter on this bill when it was previously up for work session, and Representative Richardson has written testimony to rebut some of those arguments.
Did all the committee members get the letter from the governor?
I don't know.
My contention that when I saw the letter, I was going to read it into the record because I think if you read it carefully, he makes our case for the need of the bill.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Flores.
Holt, here you come, perhaps.
Thank you.
Thank you. I don't think I have the letter from the governor.
Okay. Sam, do you have any copies of the
letter? I have my copy of
the
letter.
Can I hold for just a moment? I'll give it back to you.
Sure.
Sure. Sure. Oh, I don't need one. Well, we're running out of time. Just stand by here a minute. Thank you.
and retroactivity and all the rest of the clearance problem.
Good job.
See if they're here.
Well, I took a car.
Are you okay?
I love it, Paul.
That's all the letterhead, yeah.
This is to buy Marty Lynn South. This issue's been addressed. He's addressed in the amendment.
Not here.
But I could say he's a pretty solid player, and I'm a little concerned about moving ahead with the more the face of that. So I'd like to be calm.
However, you should consider the
rebuttal. It's a question of how much I can absorb.
We're going to set that over to next week till we get so we don't have it.
Governor should have been easy with his staff to testify. I'll send a letter out and put a kink in that. Works. It's happened twice now.
Representative Krieger, if I can mention, the governor's letter from when I read it, it's not mentioning any new arguments. These arguments have been discussed substantially in both the subcommittee level and then in prior work groups. So they're not new arguments that are being raised in the governor's letter, and I just wanted to put that into the record.
This counsel is correct, and that's why my file is almost 2 inches thick. We have really explored this matter, and my recommendation would be to adopt the Dash 6 amendments. As I spoke with counselor, with the Chair Krieger on this, there are some structural flaws still in the bill, but I would prefer to handle those on the Senate side, and I would take responsibility for writing a cover letter to Senate Judiciary so they can get an earlier start on this. I think we've done our work here, at least to get a bill out that, as I said, is not perfect, but I think the work should be finished in the Senate, otherwise it would risk dying over here, I think, if we had to
continue working. That's my intention to move the bill, so have we got the Dash 6s in?
I just moved them, but I don't think you voted.
And then there was discussion on them now, we're doing now? And that's when you talked about the letter?
Yes.
Representative Pearson?
What may be appropriate, Mr. Chair, would be for to move it out of the committee. I would vote no, I think, just to register a note of concern to amplify on the points that Representative Ackerman has referred to. I haven't fully absorbed what's going on here. It may be that I'll be persuaded by the time it gets to the floor that it's sufficient for an aye vote at the time, but at this point I would be a no.
Okay. Anything further?
No, I'm going to be a no for the same reason.
Okay. And I would appreciate it also that if the governor's got a staff of 50 or 100, wherever he's got, and he knows the bill's being worked through the process, that he takes time to avail himself of information to get it to the committee so we don't have these type of things happen the day the bill's being moved. Have a motion on the bill to move it?
I think we've done the Dash 6s, have we?
Yes, we have.
We did. Okay. Then I will move that House Bill 3085 be forwarded to the House. Bill adds amendment before to the House with a do pass recommendation.
Representative Ackerman has moved House Bill 3085 with a Dash 6 amendment to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Any further discussion? And we do note the two no votes here. We will again in a minute. Vote, please.
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
No.
Representative Flora?
Aye.
Representative Garrard? Excused. Representative Patrick?
Aye.
Representative Work? Absent. Vice Chair McPherson?
No.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye. House Bill 3085, as amended, moves to the floor with a do pass recommendation. And Representative Ackerman, did you want to carry it? And
I will yield to Representative Richardson.
That would even be better, wouldn't it? Want to do that? Okay. Representative Richardson will be the carrier. Open a work session, House Bill 3124.
Chair Krieger, members of the committee, House Bill 3124 has -1 amendments that replace the bill. Those were adopted by the subcommittee. Just a little bit of background regarding this bill. It extends a 30% increase for another 18 months that provides... I'm sorry, that... Let me step back one moment. In 2003, a legislative assembly adopted House Bill 252759, which authorized a 30% increase on certain fees charged by the Oregon Judicial Department. This bill extends those fees for another 18 months. The original bill was set to sunset on July 1st, 2005, so this July. And this bill also has further provisions. It exempts municipal, county, and justice courts from collecting these fees and distributing them to the Judicial Department operating account, and it increases all respondents' fees up to 85% of plaintiff fees. It also increases from $4 to $7 the amount that a clerk may charge for a writ of execution of garnishment. It increases the amount that a court may award for certain prevailing party fees, and it modifies provisions relating to justice courts in Deschutes County. This bill also has a subsequent referral to Ways and Means that needs to be rescinded so that it can be sent or referred to the Committee on Budget.
Just a second here.
Council, we need the dash ones then.
Yes, the dash one should be provided for you in your packet of information.
Have a motion to rescind, Representative Ackerman.
So I'll move that the dash one amendments be incorporated within House Bill 3124.
Representative Ackerman has moved that the amendments be moved into House Bill 3124. Any objections?
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. I do have a question. You noted the dash one amendments, and there are dash twos attached to the staff measure summary. I must have been.
I'll speak to the dash twos after we dispose of the dash one and then motion.
Thank you.
Yeah, further discussion? Therein. Those of Ackerman?
Aye.
The dash
you
two.
You call roll?
No. The dash twos, what was the circumstances on those?
That was to lift the lid on county law libraries.
Okay. And do we need a motion now?
Yes, before I make the motion, we have the dash ones in, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to speak just briefly to dash twos, but I can't move them at this time, although I did indicate to my friends from Lane County I would try to support that, but I'm afraid that there will be too many other users wanting to come in once we lift this cap with new money available. There's another piece in this bill that is somewhat wobbly, and this bill is so important to the judicial system that I don't want to risk any further difficulties with the bill. So I just want to put that on the record that I will not be moving to dash twos.
Okay, there we go.
Bingo. All right. And with that speech, then I will. Well, I want to make another point. This has a subsequent referral to Ways and Means, and of course that would have to be rescinded to budget. But I'd like to contemplate rescinding any referral to budget, because this is totally a revenue bill. It doesn't expend money. It extends surcharges, increases some fees, and has no fiscal impact as I see it. But I'll need some guidance from the chair on that.
I believe it still has to go there. I know I had a revenue bill that raises for the Department of Fish and Wildlife. It was $390,000, and it still had to go to Ways and Means, even though it was revenue generating. I think it's because they have to have the dollar figure down there to work into those budgets. I believe that's the ring. So we do need just to rescind the referral to Ways and Means and have it sent to budget.
Move that House Bill 3124, as amended, be referred to a budget, and that the referral to Ways and Means be rescinded.
Okay, you heard the motion?
Along with a due pass recommendation.
Any other discussion? Call the roll.
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Gerard? Excuse. Representative Fasher?
No.
Representative Worth? Absent. Vice Chair McPherson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye. House Bill 3124 moved to the floor with a due pass with a referral to the Budget Committee. Representative Sam, we got one left on there, 3303.
That's correct.
Open a work session on House Bill 3303.
Chair Krieger, members of the committee, House Bill 3303 and the Dash 4 amendments set out various requirements relating to contracts between states and the state and counties. Specifically, they provide that contracts between state agencies and counties either must be contingent on future appropriations of funds or allow either party to terminate the contract if sufficient appropriation is not made. They also provide that if a state agency and county negotiate to renew or extend a contract, then the state agency may not propose a new substantive provision within 45 days prior to the expiration of the contract. Additionally, these amendments require that inclusion of certain provisions in the contract between state agencies and counties and restrict or make void specific contractual provisions. Further, they exempt certain contracts from the bill, specifically those with PERS contracts and contracts related to federally funded transportation projects. And they also clarify that the provisions of the bill apply to contracts between state and area agencies. This morning I received Dash 5 amendments. Those amendments make one further change. They just clarify what ODOT contracts are exempted from the bill. The parties had worked together to fix this minor change, and so the Dash 5 amendments would need to be adopted today in the full committee.
A motion on the amendments. Representative Ackerman?
Yes. Council, you want the Dash 5s in?
Is that yes.
Thank you. I'll move that the Dash 5 amendments to House Bill 3303 be incorporated within the main bill.
Representative Ackerman has moved the Dash 5 amendments into 3303. Any objections? Not so ordered. A motion on the bill?
Yes, so thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll move that House Bill 3303 as amended be forwarded to the House floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Ackerman has moved House Bill 3303 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any further discussions? Objections? Call the roll.
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Gerard? Excuse. Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Worth? Absent. Vice Chair McPherson? Excuse. Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye. House Bill 3303, as amended, moves the floor with a due pass recommendation. Representative Ackerman, are you the carrier?
I will be.
Okay. I have one more point of business before we adjourn here. I'd like to suspend the rules for the purpose of allowing Representative Flores to vote on House Bill 2233, 3457, 2316, 2335, and 2510. Any objections?
No.
So ordered. Representative Flores, how do you vote on House Bill 2233?
Aye.
House Bill 3457. House Bill 2316.
Aye.
House Bill 2335.
Aye.
And House Bill 2510.
Aye. And thank you for your courtesy.
Thank you. In committee, we're finished for the day. We've got about 4 minutes to get to the floor.
Yeah.